I believe that each and every one of us in our hearts truly desire to please God from the heart. We please God, we desire to please God, we desire to serve God. And I believe that every one of us today would not be in this place unless we really said, Lord, I want you to be glorified and pleased with my life. Now we must ask the question, what does it take to please God? What does it take to please God? You know, there's a lot of people trying to please God in a lot of different ways. For example, some people say that the way to please God is through performing certain rituals. I've seen in Central America and I've seen in the Philippines people who literally on a daily basis put themselves through various rituals of crawling into the cathedrals and praying rosary beads, and some in the Philippines who literally crucify themselves on a cross during the Easter week. One man has done that 13 years in a row in a ritualistic way, trying somehow in his way of thinking to please God. Some people say the way to please God is through rules, you know. If you keep certain rules, then certainly God would be happy with you and you could find salvation. Some people say that the way to please God is through religion. And the more religious you get and the more religious you look and the more religiously you talk, then certainly that's the way to please God. Now, when you really come down to it, rituals and religion and rules are not the key in pleasing God. In fact, the Bible gives us the key right here in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 when it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. May I submit to you that the foundation of a strong Christian life is faith. The foundation of a strong Christian life is faith. Now, by way of introduction, there are two ways that God builds our faith. First of all, He builds our faith through the preaching and the study and the obedience to the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but every time I open the Word or every time I hear it preached or taught, my faith is bolstered, it's strengthened. And God says, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And so one way that our faith is strengthened is by the Word of God. Another way that God builds our faith is through trials and testings. Trials and testings. Now, we don't always like our faith to be built that way, but that is one of the ways that God does build our faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of our faith is much more precious than that of gold that perisheth. And sometimes when the bottom drops out on our life, we're placed into a position where we can really get closer to God and where we can grow in our faith. The other day, I was down in the city of Riverside visiting one of the young secretaries of our church, Lori Thomason. And Lori has been battling cancer, and we're praying that God will heal her. And she's going through right now some intensive chemotherapy treatments. And of course, I went there with the hope of somehow being a blessing to Lori and encouraging her. And you know, it was just the opposite. She was the blessing to me. And as I was there speaking with her and sharing some things with her, she began to share some things with me. And she said, you know, Pastor, I'm just growing closer and closer to the Lord through this. And God's doing a great work in my heart. And I believe that He has a purpose for this. And I've been able to witness to the nurse today. And I just sense that the Lord's allowing this trial for a reason. I'm trusting Him for my healing. And you know that through that trial, God is building her into a much stronger Christian than perhaps most of us. You see, God chooses to use His Word, and He uses sometimes trials to draw us closer to Him. And I want to encourage you today, though the trials don't feel good when we're going through them, let them draw you nearer to the Savior today, because God wants to use those trials to make a stronger Christian out of all of us. Now, because faith is pleasing to God, and because we desire to let God arise in our church, then let's notice three truths about faith that we find here in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. It is in this chapter where we read name after name after name of people who pleased God because they believed God. God is thrilled. God is pleased when we really believe Him. Now, notice first of all, as we try to understand faith, the belief of faith. What does faith believe? The Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is hoping when I cannot see. Faith is hoping even when I cannot see exactly how it's going to come to pass. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance means the concrete matter or the evidence of things hoped for. Faith is that which allows us to remain strong in our conviction concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ and concerning the promises of salvation and of the Word of God. One of my favorite verses is Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 2. After the crossing of the river Jordan, the Lord comes to Joshua and he says to Joshua in chapter 6 and verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. God says, Joshua, you see there, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Now, why did Joshua see it when others couldn't see it? And the answer is faith. God says, Joshua, I want you to see that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And if God said it, then you can believe it. And that's exactly what God said to Joshua. Now, faith is not only hoping when I cannot see, but faith is believing when I cannot see. The Bible says it is the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith enables a believer to take a firm hold on the future. It enables a Christian to stand with confidence when facing an uncertain future, yet realizing it is certainly going to be in the hand of an almighty God. I was thinking about June of 1986 this week. It was in June of 1986 that I first came to preach in Lancaster. And when we came here, we were invited by our friend who was here at the time in Lancaster, Brother Dave Long. He said, Brother Chappell, why don't you come and just preach here at Lancaster Baptist Church? He said, we don't have a large group, but he said, I'm going to be going as a missionary and I'm going to be leaving, and I'd like you to come and just take a look at what this is all about here. And I remember when he called me on the phone about April or May, I said, Dave, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to the desert. And he said, oh, come on down here. I said, look, I'm just not interested. We're doing fine up here in the Bay Area. And he said, well, why don't you just come down on your vacation? And we were going down into the L.A. area, and then we were going to go up to the sequoia trees with our kids. And so he said, why don't you just stop by on the Sunday and preach here? I said, well, all right, I'll do that just to get Dave off my back. And so we came through here on a Sunday, and I preached Sunday morning down in our old building downtown there. And we were in the small room upstairs and renting out the main auditorium to another church. And I remember in that upstairs room, I remember it like it was yesterday, the gold carpet with the gray duct tape and standing there and preaching to that group. And we had a handful of folks that morning and had a bite of lunch that afternoon. And then I said something to my wife that afternoon, like, man, I can't wait to, you know, preach tonight and get out of here and get on with the vacation, get Dave off my back and just kind of fulfill the duty, so to speak. And I preached that night. I don't know how many the total attendance was, but I know there were 12 people that were 16 and above there that night. And so I preached, and afterwards Dave said, look, if you and Terry can go outside for just a minute, we'll take care of a few things, and then we'll go over to Burger King and have a bite to eat. I said, great, fine, no problem. We went downstairs and waited in the back of the parking lot there at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard. And about 5 or 10 minutes later, he came down. He said, well, you got the vote. And I remember thinking to myself, I wasn't even campaigning for a vote, and I got the vote. He said, they voted 12 to zip. You're the one. They want you to come. And he said, now they can't offer a salary or anything like that, but they'd like you to come here and be the pastor. And so I thought, well, that's fine, Dave. And we went and had a hamburger, and we didn't put a lot of thought into it. But, you know, the next day, as Terry and I were driving up around those sequoias, it just got quiet in the car. And the Lord's beginning to deal with our hearts. And I remember that day as the Lord began to call us to come to the Antelope Valley to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I looked at Terry and I said, you know, honey, I have a strange feeling that God wants us to go to the desert. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I've been feeling that too. And I remember when God did call us to come to Lancaster in 1986, a small group of dear people. We had at that time a lawsuit pending. We had a water main that broke the first week. We had a lot of other challenges. The building, I found out in that first week, was in foreclosure. and all these different types of things going on. But you know, we knew that God had brought us here. I remember that first week as we were filling up some gas at the Chevron station over on 10th Street West, and the wind was blowing about 100,000 miles an hour. I was trying to keep the gas nozzle in, and I asked the guy at the gas station, I said, "Does it blow like this all the time here?" And he said, "Nah, just once in a while, you know." So that's what I tell people when they interview for jobs out here in our ministry now, you know, it just blows once in a while. But you know, in those early days, God was doing something in our hearts. When we came with faith, believing that in this area, through soul winning and preaching without compromise, that God could do a great and mighty work in this valley. And not only last Sunday were there people here from the Antelope Valley, but from 23 cities in Southern California, people gathered together in these auditoriums last week to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I believe today, more than ever, that God is pleased when we, with childlike faith, will step out and trust Him to do a great and a mighty work. The belief of faith is that God will bless even when I cannot see exactly how it's going to happen. God has a plan. Now notice not only the belief of faith, but notice secondly the behavior of faith. The behavior of faith. The Bible tells us of the behavior of faith beginning in verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now, do you realize the words of James in chapter 2 and verse 17? Faith without works is dead, being alone. It's one thing to define faith. It's another thing to live in faith, the behavior of faith. Now, faith is obeying when I cannot understand. Faith is obeying when I cannot understand. And to see this, there's two illustration scriptures. First of all, there's Noah. The Bible says that Noah was warned of God, and notice again here, of things not seen as yet. You see, faith involves oftentimes the fact that we haven't seen it by reason. We don't logically put it all together. We don't understand it. And Noah's story is familiar to all of us. Listen, Noah had never seen rain. And God said, "Noah, now it's going to start raining and raining and raining." And Noah could have said, "Excuse me, Lord, what is rain?" He'd never seen rain. God said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to get involved in a large building program." One preacher told me a few years back, he said, "Brother Chapel, when you get done with this building program, you'll understand why when Noah got off that ark, he got drunk, all right?" And yeah. I haven't got to that desperate point yet, but I think I'm getting close. Watch me, okay? But Noah built that ark by faith. He'd never seen rain. He'd never seen an ark. He didn't know what in the world this was all about, but he knew one thing. God was leading, and he was going to obey. And by the way, as we consider what we're to do in faith in the upcoming days, let us remember that Noah's entire family was saved because Noah had faith. Okay? And the Bible says that in verse 7. That the Bible says that his entire family became the heirs of righteousness. He saved his entire house. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, you see. And I think about this building program out here, this new auditorium and some 40,000 square feet of building and a 2,500 seat auditorium. Boy, we had never as a church seen anything like that. And as a pastor, had no idea of how it was going to look. And I walk around there sometimes and go, "Wow, this is different than those blueprints they showed us." And many days I go, "Wow, this is more expensive than the blueprints they showed us." And there's no way to comprehend these things before you get into them. But you just believe that God is able, you see, and that's what Noah did. By faith, the Bible says, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Then notice another illustration is Abraham. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. Two illustrations. One was Noah. He didn't understand it. Another one was Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Sometimes people say, "You know, Brother Chapel, you're preaching this message about faith. And you know, you just think that we're going to just step out like that and not understanding or knowing." That's exactly what Abraham did. And I know a lot of times the engineers in the church, I got to calculate this, figure that out, make a logical decision. But notice what it says about Abraham. It says he went out, verse 8, not knowing whither he went, you see. Here was a man who did not understand everything, but he chose to obey God. Here was a 75-year-old man living in the Ur of the Chaldee. God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a city that I've prepared and promised for you. And he trusted God. And you know, I've found that even in the New Testament, that there are over 1,050 commandments in the New Testament. And I'll be honest with you, they're not always easy. Sometimes they're even inconvenient to follow the commandments of the Lord, but they are always what is best for me and for you. And that's why the book of Proverbs says that we're not to lean on our understanding, but we are to trust in the Word of God. So as we look at the behavior of faith, faith, first of all, is obeying when I don't understand it, you see. And you say, that just goes against everything in me. That's all right. That's the paradox of the Christian life, isn't it? We don't always understand how something's going to get done, but we believe God that it will get done. Now notice, secondly, faith is giving when I don't have it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's an entire sermon in that verse right there. You notice the word faith, you notice the word offered, and you notice the word sacrifice, and you've got a 3-point outline. You see, faith is giving even when I don't have it. Now, Abel's faith caused him to sacrifice to God. And I want you to realize that giving and faith always go together. Biblical giving and faith always are in tandem in the Word of God. Some of you have been through this practice before, but when Terry and I first sat down and we began to discuss tithing, we were just newlyweds and trying to lay out that foundation of how that was all going to work. And you know, it was so tight. We were Bible college students, and I was working a swing shift for Caterpillar Tractor Company and trying to pay the bill for college and trying to get this thing started in our family. And we figured out how we would tithe and give to missions and by faith promise and so forth. And when we put it down on paper, I want to tell you something, it didn't work. In fact, without the tithe, it wasn't going to work. And I remember sitting across that old mahogany table that we'd gotten at a garage sale and looking at her and saying, honey, this isn't going to work on paper, is it? And she always has those spiritual answers right about then. She said something like, I guess we're just going to have to trust the Lord, aren't we? Twist the knife a little bit. To her future pastor husband, she said that. And that's exactly what we did. You see, many people give of their abundance, but faith causes us to give when I don't see humanly how it could work. You see, that's faith. Many folks will give from their abundance, but God says, I want you to trust me by faith. Now, I think of people who like to give of their abundance. I think of Bill Gates, who gave $3.6 billion to charity last week. And I think about that a lot. And some people give of their abundance. I heard of a wealthy Texan who gave his father every year for his birthday elaborate gifts. And he just loved giving these elaborate gifts. And he gave stuff like hang gliding lessons and rare albums and all this stuff. And a few years ago, he gave his dad a talking bird that spoke in 5 languages and sang the Yellow Rose of Texas. This bird cost $10,000. And a week later, he called his dad. He said, Dad, how'd you like that bird? And his dad said, it was delicious. But some people are willing to give elaborate gifts out of their abundance. But that's not what Abel did. The Bible says that his gift was by faith. Now, folks, we're either going to give by reason or by revelation. Either by reason or by revelation. Now, when I give by reason, I figure out what I can do. And I kind of weigh it all out. All right, this is what I can do. But that doesn't require faith, you see. In fact, an atheist can give by reason because he doesn't have to trust God for that. Or I can give by revelation. I can pray, I can read the Bible, I can hear preaching, and then I can ask God to lead me into what God wants me to do by faith. That is what the Bible says of the Macedonian churches in 2 Corinthians 8:3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing to give of themselves, you see. You see, God says they looked at what they could do, but they were willing to do beyond what they can do. Sometimes people say, you know, Brother Chapel, you're preaching this message about faith and you know, you just think that we're going to just step out like that and not understanding or knowing. That's exactly what Abraham did. And I know a lot of times the engineers in the church, I got to calculate this, figure that out, make a logical decision. But notice what it says about Abraham. It says he went out, verse 8, not knowing whither he went, you see. Here was a man who did not understand everything, but he chose to obey God. Here was a 75-year-old man living in the Ur of the Chaldee. God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a city that I've prepared and promised for you. And he trusted God. And you know, I've found that even in the New Testament, that there are over 1,050 commandments in the New Testament. And I'll be honest with you, they're not always easy. Sometimes they're even inconvenient to follow the commandments of the Lord, but they are always what is best for me and for you. And that's why the book of Proverbs says that we're not to lean on our understanding, but we are to trust in the Word of God. So as we look at the behavior of faith, faith, first of all, is obeying when I don't understand it, you see. And you say, that just goes against everything in me. That's all right. That's the paradox of the Christian life, isn't it? We don't always understand how something's going to get done, but we believe God that it will get done. Now notice secondly, faith is giving when I don't have it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's an entire sermon in that verse right there. You notice the word faith, you notice the word offered, and you notice the word sacrifice, and you've got a 3-point outline. You see, faith is giving even when I don't have it. Now, Abel's faith caused him to sacrifice to God. And I want you to realize that giving and faith always go together. Biblical giving and faith always are in tandem in the Word of God. Some of you have been through this practice before, but when Terry and I first sat down and we began to discuss tithing, we were just newlyweds and trying to lay out that foundation of how that was all going to work. And you know, it was so tight. We were Bible college students, and I was working a swing shift for a Caterpillar Tractor Company and trying to pay the bill for college and trying to get this thing started in our family. And we figured out how we would tithe and give to missions and by faith promise and so forth. And when we put it down on paper, I want to tell you something, it didn't work. In fact, without the tithe, it wasn't going to work. And I remember sitting across that old mahogany table that we'd gotten at a garage sale and looking at her and saying, honey, this isn't going to work on paper, is it? And she always has those spiritual answers right about then. She said something like, I guess we're just going to have to trust the Lord, aren't we? Twist the knife a little bit to her future pastor husband, she said that. And that's exactly what we did. You see, many people give of their abundance, but faith causes us to give when I don't see humanly how it could work. You see, that's faith. Many folks will give from their abundance, but God says, I want you to trust me by faith. Now, I think of people who like to give of their abundance. I think of Bill Gates, who gave $3.6 billion to charity last week. And I think about that a lot. And some people give of their abundance. I heard of a wealthy Texan who gave his father every year for his birthday elaborate gifts. And he just loved giving these elaborate gifts. And he gave stuff like hang gliding lessons and rare albums and all this stuff. And if few years ago, he gave his dad a talking bird that spoke in five languages and sang the Yellow Rose of Texas. This bird cost $10,000. And a week later, he called his dad. He said, "Dad, how'd you like that bird?" And his dad said, "It was delicious." But some people are willing to give elaborate gifts out of their abundance. But that's not what Abel did. The Bible says that his gift was by faith. Now, folks, we're either going to give by reason or by revelation. Either by reason or by revelation. Now, when I give by reason, I figure out what I can do. And I kind of weigh it all right, this is what I can do. But that doesn't require faith, you see. In fact, an atheist can give by reason because he doesn't have to trust God for that. Or I can give by revelation. I can pray, I can read the Bible, I can hear preaching, and then I can ask God to lead me into what God wants me to do by faith. That is what the Bible says of the Macedonian churches in 2 Corinthians 8:3. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing to give of themselves," you see. You see, God says they looked at what they could do, but they were willing to do beyond what they can do. We don't want to just sit around and say, "What can we figure that we can do?" But we want to say, "Lord, by faith, we want to ask you to let us do something that you could only receive the glory for it." U.S. News and World Report tells us that over half of all charitable giving in 1997 was given by people who make $50,000 or less. In other words, oftentimes those with the most will give the least. And we need to recognize something today. God doesn't want us just to be tipping him or to be giving him of our abundance, but he wants us to give by faith. So the behavior of faith, first of all, it is obeying when I cannot understand. It is then giving when I don't have it. Hey, if it's just giving of my abundance, it's not faith. But thirdly, the behavior of faith is seen in this phrase: faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Now look at verse 27, would you? Because this is a great chapter and so much helpful information here. But notice verses 23 through verses 29 speak about a man named Moses. And for the sake of time, let's just look at one verse, verse 27. It says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he," what's the next word say? "Endured, as seeing him who is invisible." Now that's a great verse. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. After 400 years of slavery, the children of Israel had suffered at the hands of the Egyptians. Their backs were whipped. They had to make brick out of straw and clay. And after 400 years of that, God calls an unwilling man, a stuttering man by the name of Moses, to lead his children out of Egypt. Moses chose to suffer with the people of God. And he chose to identify with the people of God by faith. And as you read through this passage and as you study the life of Moses, it wasn't all easy for a shy, stuttering man to stand up before the Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." That just wasn't his personality. But the Bible says that he persisted even when he didn't feel like it. I want you to see this, because sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel on our marriage and on our walk with God and on trying to even live a righteous life. But I want you to see what Moses did. Moses, the Bible says, by faith, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How many of you are catching this concept that these guys who lived by faith were seeing stuff that other people weren't seeing? Moses was focusing on Christ. He was focusing on God. He endured because he saw God working in the midst. Now, Moses did not base his actions on feelings. He based his faith on God, and he endured. Now, one thing that I've noticed about going forward for God and building programs and bus ministries and missionary programs is that when you as a church, when I as a church member go forward for God, you can just expect in the next month to get hassled by Satan. And I've noticed that to be the case. But we must keep our eyes on the Lord and endure as seeing him who is invisible. You see, faith is doing the right thing even if I don't feel like it. And there are Baptists who live by feelings, and there are Baptists who live by the book. And the Baptists who live by the book are Baptists of faith who will go forward for God. And we must not go by our feelings, but we must go by faith in the Word of God. 1 John 5:4 says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now, you may feel like quitting today. I don't know. You may just be down and discouraged, but I want to encourage you to be strong of faith. And I want to encourage you from the testimony of Moses to endure as seeing him who is visible. The fact is that no matter what your bad times may be, what mine may be, there's only one way to endure. And verse 27 is the key, as seeing him who is invisible. Amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the behavior of faith. Faith is obeying when I cannot understand it. You say, man, I don't understand how all this is going to happen. Good, you're in a prime position to trust God. Faith is giving when I don't have it. You say, I don't have to give. Good, you're in a prime position to trust God by faith. And you see, faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Just saying, Lord, give me the strength to endure as I look at you. Now we see the belief of faith. The Bible tells us of the belief of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see the behavior of faith, obeying when I can't understand, giving when I just don't seem to have the ability, and persisting when I don't feel like going on. But I want you to see not only the belief of faith, not only the behavior of faith, but thirdly, the blessing of faith. The blessing of faith. There is no life like a life of faith. There is no joy like a life lived in faith. Now, first of all, the blessing of faith is found in this statement. Faith is thanking God before I receive it. Faith is thanking God before I receive it. Look what the Bible says now in verse 30. And in verse 30, we see another man by the name of Joshua. In Joshua 11:30, it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind. Most of you have heard about Joshua and the children of Israel walking around the walls of Jericho 7 times. You recall that God said, "See, Joshua, I've given you that city." And you know, faith allows us to thank God before we even have the victory, that he's going to give us the victory. Now, when you think about Joshua, there was no way that a bunch of ex-slaves were going to take the most fortified city in the world and take it down and destroy it with their own might. But you see, as they marched around Jericho 6 times, they were already believing the victory was there. Theirs. It would have been foolish to march right beneath the arrows of the enemy unless they believed that God was going to give them the victory. And faith allows me to thank God for the victory even before it comes. You see, faith is not believing that God can do something. Faith is believing that God will do something. I want to say that again. Anybody can say, "Oh, God bless you, Pastor Chapel. God can do it. Tiger, go get him now. We're with you in the spirit." Lots of Christians can say that. Faith is not believing God can, but faith is believing that God will use me to be a part of the victory. You see, faith is trusting in God to do what only he can do. Faith, secondly, is trusting God even if I don't get the blessing. Faith is trusting God even when things don't go the way we had hoped. Now you say, well, that seems to be contradictory to what you've said before. But look at verse 36 for a moment. Verse 36. The Bible says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings." Now, we've read about Abraham and Joshua and Noah. But now the Bible says there were others. What happened to the others? Look what it says. Mockings, scourgings, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Whoa. Now, to the world, they would say, see, their faith failed. They trusted in God, and all they got was a whipping. All they got was put into prison. But let's keep reading, okay? It says, Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. By the way, that's God's estimation of these martyrs. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. But look at verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The Bible tells us in verse number 39 that these people did not receive their promise. They did not receive what they had hoped for in land or in blessing. But the Bible says they received a good report through faith, and that God will provide a better thing for us and also for them. You see, friend, God's economy is not limited to what happens in this world. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our hope and our treasures are laid up beyond the blue. God is not like a vending machine. And a lot of people, when they preach about faith, they preach sort of like this. You put a quarter in, you get 50 cents back. Or God is not like an ATM machine where you just punch a card in and just expect money to come out. One of our members the other day gave me something they got in the mail from some TV type ministry. And this was a doozy. This says, this at the top of the letter, you need to know this because this is important. It says, God's Holy Spirit is in and on this letter. So you got to establish that in your mind as I read this to you, okay? That's what this says. God's Holy Spirit is in and on this letter, okay? And I don't have time to read all of it, but it says basically that you're to take this red and gold biblical contact. See, some of you think that it's Christian and so forth, so it's got to be good. But just wake up and smell the roses here for a minute, okay? They got this in the mail. The Holy Spirit's in and on it. And they want to help, it says here, break the financial curse of the recipient. And so it says you take this red and gold biblical contact, and this is what they're instructing, this TV minister is instructing you to do, is you're to sleep with it under your pillow for 5 nights. You're welcome to look at this. Some of you think maybe my secretary typed this, but you sleep with this for 5 nights, and then you return this special red and gold biblical contact to the TV minister with what is called your seed offering of faith. And there are several amounts suggested. And then when you return your seed offering of faith with your red and gold contact and with the letter that has the Holy Spirit in and on it, then you're going to be blessed with a financial blessing that is beyond comprehension. So for some people in Christendom today, God is sort of like, you know, Vegas. And you just kind of do this thing and God... Now listen, God doesn't work like that. He doesn't always bless merely with a financial return. He may bless in some other way, you see, something far more important than that. Faith is trusting God even if we don't get it. The Bible says that these people didn't receive all the promises they'd hoped for, but what they did receive was eternal life in heaven. They did receive a good report, and they did receive the praise of God who said this world wasn't even worthy of those people. You see, God says, I will meet all of your needs, not all of your greeds. And we don't want to say, well, I'll give a big offering so God will give me a bigger offering. I do believe you cannot outgive God, but it may or may not be a financial blessing. And so you need to realize today that as you serve the Lord, trust in Him and realize the joy of living by faith and trusting God. And the blessing of faith is that even when we don't have things go exactly our way, God is still working on our behalf. Now, the whole Christian life begins and ends with faith. Some of you are here and it's never yet begun for you. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You're not sure that you've ever had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, let me share a scripture with you about faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for by grace, that's God's part, that's undeserved favor, that he would love us as a sinner. For by grace are you saved. That means rescued spiritually. That means redeemed, forgiven. For by grace are you saved, hear this, through faith, the Bible says. Now, grace is God's part towards us, but faith is our part towards God. You know, this may shock you, but I've never seen Jesus Christ personally. I've never seen some of the great things that I believe in the Bible, but by faith I was saved on April 5th, 1972. By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. If you're here and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, listen, don't even worry about putting faith for an offering to give. That's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus Christ died for your sins and shed his blood. And he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. And it's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the Christian life begins with an expression of faith in the Lord. And the Christian life is to continue by faith for you and for me as Christians. Would you think about where you're at with faith? Do you need to work on believing when you don't see it? Do you need to work on obeying when you don't understand it? Do you need to work on giving when you don't have it, or persisting when you don't feel like it, or thanking before you receive it, or trusting when you don't get the promotion or the blessing you were hoping for? And if the answer to any of that is yes, then the fact is we all need to continue growing in our faith today, don't we? We can't live on 1950s faith or 1980s faith, but we need to say, Lord, help me to grow in faith as we enter into the year 2000. Help me to be a man or a woman of faith. Why? Hebrews 11:6. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I pray today that from our hearts we'll say, Lord, I want to have faith that pleases you.